So to give you a little preface before I read into the scripture, what has happened is the children of Israel, we know that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 days. It should have been like a 10 or 11 day walk. So understand how many of you felt like you've been walking the same way. It's okay. You'll get there and just keep trusting God. And we know that they knew that they needed to come and take down Jericho. So they sent some spies into Jericho to see what it looked like. And this is what happened. Joshua 2, chapter 8 is where I'm starting. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof. Now, I want to tell you who she is. This is Rahab, and she's a prostitute of the city. She's in the middle of a city because she put herself there to do things, put it together. So she is not in God's divine will at this moment. We understand that, correct? Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay. She said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land where she lives, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. What has happened in this moment is she has heard a story. That at this moment, she is reaching out to get out of her middle. And I think so many times we don't realize that our story that maybe we're facing and we're going through and we've been going around and around, finally, because it took so many years for them to walk around, they were able to hear the testimony. If it had been an 11-day journey, she never would have heard this testimony. She wouldn't have been born. So she would have missed out on the very testimony that was going to change her life. Your time in the middle will become the testimony that teaches others how to trust God in their middle. I'm going to say that again. Your time in your middle will become the testimony that teaches others how to trust God in their middle. See, the Israelites walked around for 40 years after the Red Sea. But by the time they were ready to conquer the city of Jericho, what had happened 40 years prior has now made and been heard by the people in Jericho. And one woman in this place, something gripped her. You remember that moment when something about God gripped you in a way it never had before? Do you remember that moment when the presence of God consumed you like never before and you felt it? Now understand, as pastors of this church, we go through those really dry seasons where you think, man, I have not felt God in a while. Like you'll go into your quiet times, you'll do this. And I think sometimes people have a misperception that people in the ministry or people in pastoring and everything, we float on clouds or you know, play with weird baby angels during the day because, you know, we're just in the presence and it's awesome. No, there's times where I'm just like, God, I have felt like you're so far. Like, why do I feel this way? Because it's a human thing that we go through because God wants us to draw closer. Jaylee will say my name till I 100% give her my attention. You guys ever seen that movie where he's like, mommy, mommy? She's like, Jack, Jack, Jack. Do you like that? You know, no? Okay, Iron Man, the kid in the car, he's screaming. Go look it up. It's hilarious. So he just keeps saying her name, and then she's on the phone. She turns around. She's like, hey, Jack, 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 Jack. How you like that? Because it's like we... But kids understand what it means to be with. See, I can answer her and I can say, yeah. And she's like, no, mommy, come here. She wants my full undivided attention. I read this article of this little 7-year-old boy that wrote a paper of how he wished phones had never been made. Because he said, that's all my mommy and daddy do is carry around and look at their phone. And it broke my heart. So, you know, there's something that we do in putting it away or putting it down. But understand, God is the same way. He's waiting till he has your undivided attention to speak. So when we sporadically run here to spend time with him, run here, and I'm trying. And listen, anytime I'm talking about, I'm not talking about quantity, I'm talking about quality. See, I can spend 5 minutes. I realized, for instance, the other day, I could tell Jaylee was just acting out like it was just like, what has come upon you? And so I finally just went in her room and I shut the door and I sat down on the floor and I said, will you make me something for your kitchen, from your kitchen? All she needed in that moment was 10 minutes of just nobody else, just me and her. And I had to be aware of that. And that's when I fully got to engage with her, was that moment. God is going to wait till he's got your undivided attention to fully engage with you. And we see Rahab in this moment that she heard the story, something quickened inside of her to know. Verse 12 says this, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. They replied, our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. What's happening is two parts in this place. Because there's something being quickened inside of her, and there's something being quickened inside of them. Because you ever hear, even as a Christian, somebody else's testimony, and it begins to do something to remind you about how incredible God is. You know, it's one reason you guys hear us, you know, if it's your first time, then maybe it's the first time, but we will constantly talk about the miracle of Jaylee because she was a miracle. Because they couldn't figure out why we couldn't get pregnant. There was nothing scientifically, doctory, whatever you, doctory. I don't know. It's not a word, but it's cool. He makes up words, so do I. And we go together, great. And they couldn't figure out why. And so we just had to keep trusting God because we knew his promises said in his word that he was faithful to do those things. Be fruitful and multiply is what the word said. So we knew that was something we could hold on to. You know what was interesting? Every time I would hear somebody give a testimony of getting pregnant, it would do something. Now you can allow it sometimes to frustrate you because when you hear somebody else's miracle while you're in the middle, sometimes you get frustrated. But really what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to encourage you and push you to know he's no respecter of a person. I can have this too. And I think we have to have that kind of attitude. I think we have to be in that place that we truly understand that God is a good God and he wants good things for us. Now here is the spies that they are in this area and they're trying to see what do the walls look like, which is interesting. If you read on in the story, this is spoiler alert, so you know, all they end up having to do was walk around the walls and they fell down. There's, you know, they had to do it for like 6 days. And on the seventh day, they walked and they did seven times around the horn blah, 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 and all this stuff. And it was so awesome. What is very interesting about the story is when I have read it, and I've read it several times because I didn't want to mess this up. God spoke to Joshua, but Joshua actually didn't tell the people, hey, we're going to walk around this many times and then it's going to fall. He just said, this is what we're going to do. So I believe every day they were walking like, what are we doing? I don't know. Are we walking tomorrow too? Yeah. And just trying to figure out what's going on. But God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes if you had things happen and you go, I don't think it was for that. You know, there's times in our life that maybe we've ministered to people and it's happened because something went wrong with our vehicle or with our house or something like that. And instead of getting frustrated, we begin to look and think, oh, this is why God did this, because he wanted us to minister to this person. So instead of getting frustrated from the very beginning, look and maybe why and what God is doing. Because you've got to trust is what leads us through the middle to our miracle. Trust. Okay, you guys ever been on a highway and there's a middle lane? Okay, because I believe that's for people that can't decide where they want to go. Do I want to go faster than everybody or do I want to slow everybody down? Okay, the middle for me is very comforting when I'm on a trip because I feel like I'm going to panic and not know, you know, because all of a sudden there's like six highways and you see all the signs. Now, it's not six at one, but if you ask any of my sisters, because that's the only time I'm allowed to drive, because if it's Brian, he's driving, or he'll wait till he knows, okay, for like 300 miles, we don't have to do anything, so you can drive this leg of it. I'm like, okay, cool. And I still panic and because something will pop up and I'm like, what is it telling me? And he's like sound asleep at 3 a.m., you know, because we like to drive through the night. And I realize the middle lane, it really doesn't, it's just there so you can decide where to go, or it's there for the people that are scared. The middle is never supposed to be a destination. And I think sometimes we get stuck there because sometimes we get comfortable because the middle's not hot and it's not cold. It's just in the middle. And I think where we can make a mistake, because I look in the story and I think of Rahab, and she asks all these questions, but then you know she saw them walking around. You know, after she tells them, we heard that God did an awesome thing. He dried up the Red Sea. Okay, a God that can dry up the Red Sea. That is a powerful God. How do you think she felt when a couple of days later, their version of what she thought was conquering the city was walking around in circles, not talking? Let's be honest. You heard of this God. So in her mind, I think she's thinking, I wonder what he's going to do. Like just totally crumble the walls, like, you know, and it's just boom and it'll be gone. Or maybe she had some like Hollywood scene idea, which they didn't have Hollywood back then, but just go with it. And she's like, I wonder what it's going to look like. And this is going to be, and all of a sudden, all she sees for 6 days long is men just walking around the building. Like, are they like measuring it? Are they trying to figure out how they want to go in? I mean, you would think they had figured that out by now. She had to trust. She had to trust that the God that dried up the Red Sea might do this miracle differently. See, we hear other people's miracle while we're in the middle, but sometimes we want God to do it in a certain way and God's going to do it in a different way. But if you're not open to see that, you're going to miss your miracle. Because if she would have given up and thought, well, this is stupid. I'm going to actually leave Jericho because I don't trust these people ever going to come back for me. And the people in the city are freaking out and I don't want to deal with all that. So I'm just going to leave. But she had to trust in the God that she heard about, that he was going to do something, not only for her, but for them. And I think we have to not allow the enemy to ever make us think he's not going to come through for us. But we disqualify ourselves because of how we got in the middle. I'm sure that the moment she spoke out about this God that she had loved and heard he had done amazing things, the days that went by, she began to disqualify herself because she would hear the enemy say, do you really think the God that wrote the Ten Commandments, and you know one of those commandments you did not handle well? Okay, y'all know about things. Okay, all right, just making sure. I'm like, who am I talking to? All right, and it's like in church, it's like sex. We can't laugh or talk about it or anything like that. God created it, so hello. Okay, so it's how we had a baby. All right, so I know people are like, what? It's okay. So here she is in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of this, and she could hear the enemy say, you really think that God is going to rescue you? You made the decision of to do what you're doing and why you're in this place. You're in this place because of what you chose to do. You're in this place because you didn't serve God and you did all of this. See, I don't know what lies the enemy might be trying to tell you. See, the lie that, well, you're in this marriage because you made a mistake. Well, you're in this because you didn't do this way. Yeah, but God. See, I think we have been taught wrong theology at times that we think because we got ourselves in it. Now, are there repercussions that in the natural world happen? Yes. You have sex outside of marriage, you will have a baby. So there are repercussions that happen, and you could be raising a child by yourself, and you could have things, like, you get what I'm saying? You decide to do drugs and you become addicted to them. And then you have, yeah, there are repercussions, but understand, not from God. They're natural. And God's saying, I will come and rescue you out of this situation. But I need you to listen. I need you to trust. I need you not to look and wonder why someone has been on their knees praying for you day and night till you understood that Jesus was calling out to you. See, we sometimes belittle the things of God if they're not huge things that we can see with our natural eyes, but there's things being done in the spiritual realm. There's grandmothers and mamas that have been praying for years for people's salvation, and people think they're crazy. No, keep praying. Keep praying. Because there's a lie that the enemy has told them that you're in this position because you chose the wrong thing. Yeah, but now you have the opportunity to choose the right thing. See, that's how you get out of it. That's how you make a better decision. We're so smart sometimes when it comes to natural things, but I think sometimes when it comes to spiritual things, we can overcomplicate what God's just saying, hey, trust me, I'll lead you. Oh, okay. As a kid, we had no problem with that. The teacher said, come this way. We're like, okay. God says this, come this way. Well, let's discuss this. If I go this way, I know that, and we have all these reasoning. God's like, I see 360. You only see one dimension. I need you to trust me that I know where I'm taking you. One of the things that I think is the scariest part for us is, how do you talk while you're in the middle? Do you talk about the miracle or do you highlight the middle? See, I knew for me when I was not able to get pregnant, for me, I had to talk about the miracle, not my situation in the middle. Now, what I share with people, yes, the church knew. So I'm not saying I kept it a secret. What I'm saying was, is it wasn't the talk that I constantly talked. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm not getting pregnant. I can't believe this is happening to me. Because what I was doing is, if I highlight the middle, I will miss the miracle. You have to highlight the miracle so you can get out of the middle. Because highlighting the miracle continues to remind you how good God is, continues to remind you what he can do that's beyond your own ability. Talking about the miracle when you're in a financial situation reminds yourself that God is able to take care of you and to bless you exceedingly above anything you could ask, think, dream, or imagine. See, if I talk about, who wants to be around somebody who's talking down all the time? It's not enjoyable because you just feel like, do you have any joy? Is there anything you're happy with? So what I highlighted was the fact that I was married to an incredible man. I was in ministry doing the things that God had called me to do. I had my sisters that were living. All of them have lived with us at some point. We're free now. And I love you. I'm just kidding. But I mean, it's 6 years. You know, it's a long time to have everybody live with you. And in those moments, I highlighted the fact of, oh, I have time that I can pour into them. I have time that I can spend with them. I just highlighted what God could do in my life in that moment while I was in the middle waiting for my miracle. Verse 15 says this, so she let them down by a rope through the window. Let's be honest, she was good at letting men in and out of the window. So she used a skill she had acquired to use for the Lord. I'm going to leave that there. For the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She was right where she was supposed to be. See, sometimes you think where you've been sinning is where there's problems, and God could say, no, you're in the midst of where I need people to see what God's getting ready to do in your life. Because everybody knows you're a sinner, and this is about to change some people. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. What you do in the middle determines the mark you leave in the end. What we decided in the middle of turmoil was to believe God, we now have a child. What we decided to do when we were unsure if we were supposed to move and take another position, all this stuff and all these other things, and we were going through a bunch of stuff, what we chose to do in the middle marks that we're here now, pastoring this church that we believe that God has called to be in Centerton and is going to be a lighthouse and is going to touch this city for God. Not only Centerton, but I believe it's going to reach out even further because I see what God wants to do, but it was marked by the middle. It was marked in the anguish of crying out and in tears and wondering if God could hear us. Wondering if he was listening. That was what was happening in the middle, but it marked us. See, now when somebody goes, I mean, do you really think if you, yeah, 100%, no question. Yeah, there's days that the enemy tries to come and tell you differently, but because I was marked by the middle, you can't change my mind that Jesus is a healer. You can't detour me from that. Yes, have I seen people that believed and died? Yes, I have. But I'm not going to worry about those answers till I can talk to the one who can give me the absolute answer. What I'm going to do is believe his word and what he says and continue to pray for those that are sick. Joshua 6:22-23 says this. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, keep your promise. And this is exactly where the walls of Jericho have fallen finally. It was several days after they had been there. And this is what he said. Joshua 6:22-23 said to the two spies, I want you to go and keep your promise. Go to the prostitute's house. Bring her out along with all her family. The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all the other relatives who were there. they moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. Now, another thing that I want to step on some toes this morning is a lot of times we're in the middle. We think we've got to do it on our own. The Bible is full of relationship sharpening us. But the enemy has done a real good job for getting women to not like women. I can't tell you how many women I've met with. They're like, I just don't get along with other women. Well, you met some that were off. I get that. But not everybody's like that. Not everybody wants to gossip and talk about bad about people. Not everybody wants to look at everybody and judge them. And if they do, we're going to help them get to that place where they don't have to be like that because it's due to insecurity why they do that. But I got to have time with those people to get them to that place of realization that they're hurting and that's why they do what they do. Rahab could have never gotten out of this situation if it weren't for the relationship that she got with these spies. You might be in the middle of something and you are trying as hard as you can to get out of it on your own. But I'm telling you, God has sent people to pray with you, to be there for you. It's one reason why we love reach groups. We don't do reach groups because we need something to do here on Wednesday nights. We do reach groups because we could easily do another service. But what happens is what's happening right now. Y'all are not, we're not dialoguing back and forth. You're listening to me. I apologize, but that's what's happening. You're listening to me speak and hearing what I'm saying. What happens in reach group is somebody shares something and another person, man, I've been through that same thing. Well, wow, I have felt like that. I thought I was disqualified because the reason I'm stuck in the middle was a stupid decision I made. Oh, and all of a sudden, people in a room who felt like I was the only one that was going through that realize eight other people in the room are facing the same thing. And all of a sudden, the lie that the enemy has told them that you're the only one that goes through this, you're the only one that feels this way, you're the only one that God doesn't like, all of a sudden they're realizing everybody else is dealing with the same enemy with the same lie. Because he has not changed what he says. The enemy does one thing, it's deceive. That's it. That is his tool. He deceives us into believing we're not good enough. Once we think we're good enough, he deceives us to think, well, we're never going to amount to anything. And then once we get there, then we're too prideful because we're too confident. All these things, the enemy's constantly deceiving us to believe his lies. I tell people all the time, and I told our youth this when I did youth for over 10 years. I said this to them. Whatever you're hearing, if it's from the enemy, just flip it around because all he can do is lie. So if he tells you you'll never amount to anything, he actually just told you, you are going to do some great things. When the enemy would tell us you're not going to get pregnant, I thought you can only lie. So the fact that you keep, I would tell him this, the fact that you keep saying this to me, you are reiterating the fact that I will be pregnant. See, every time the lie would come, I would just flip it because he actually is confirming God's word. I think we have to understand that what we do and how we make the decision we make in the middle marks not only us, but others. I went and I looked up the word marked, and it means this. Put a line through something on paper to indicate that it has passed or it has been dealt with. In order for us to move forward, it has to be marked. It has been dealt with. It is done. I was marked by something, and now I'm in a new place. I got through the middle, but I was marked, and now I get to move past this into a new place. From glory to glory is what the word says. The message is short. The message is simple. You got to trust him. You got to trust him in the midst of the middle, no matter how you got there. No matter what got you in the middle. That is not the factor. The factor is that God is able. God is good, and he will take care of you. He wants for you. I think we have to remind ourselves that he wants things for you more than you want them. And I'll never forget, you know, and I'm going to end with this story. I never forget driving in the car with Jaylee. She was about 5 months old, and I was sitting there. I look back in the rearview mirror, and I remember many times before she was born, looking back in the rearview mirror, just crying and saying, God, I can't wait to see a baby back there. And so when I looked through that day, I just began to cry in the car. And God said, do you know what the hardest thing for me was through this season? And I really, for a minute, kind of took me back. I'm like, hard for you? Like, like really, I almost had a moment with God, like, here I'm having a moment, and you're like, hey, do you know what's hard for me? I'm like, how could this be hard? He said, it's hard because I'm a father first, And I had to watch you go through the emotion of wondering if you were ever going to be a mother when I knew you were. And I think we forget the fact that he's there in the midst of our pain and our wondering and our questioning. And as a father, because there's no time in heaven, so what he could get up from his seat and walk somewhere to look at something else could be the moment that, you know, that could have been the 5 years of for him waiting to see me get pregnant. That could have been it for him because there's no time in heaven. But what I do know is he's so much of a father first that he told me that was the hardest thing, was knowing a promise I was bringing to you, but you having to sit on earth through the waiting period. That's why one of my favorite songs in all the world is "He's in the Waiting." Because he is. I think sometimes we think he's in the miracle, but not in the waiting. But he's in both. He's in the pain. He's in the times of confusion. But do we stop and say, God, I want to trust you in the midst of this? That's why this morning I had a totally different song I was going to do. And this morning, we're literally, you know, understand what, as a worship team up here, we take it very seriously what we do. We're up here just practicing, and they had gotten through the second song, and all of a sudden I was just like, this is how I find my battles. And it just came out. I hadn't planned on doing the song. I get why God did that now, because this is how we fight them. Man, when there's no answer that we can find, that's why we got to fight this way. Because we're reminding ourselves how great he is. I've never seen the story of Rahab like this ever. I've known the story that there was a prostitute that hid some spies and put them through a window. But what I did was I allowed the word of God to be awakened to me in a way that we can put it in today's scenario. See, I think sometimes we hear stories and think, well, because I don't know a prostitute and needed to sneak some people out of a window, this story really doesn't apply to me. That's not what it's about. It's about wherever you're at. You're in the middle of something. And you need a way out. And God's saying, I'm going to send some people to help you. Not only will I be there, but I'm going to send people. Listen, church is awesome, but community is stronger. See, this is something we get to do corporately, but what you get to do individually with people, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't know about you, but Sundays is not usually the biggest time the enemy hits me. It's usually on Monday. Or on Saturday night when your daughter wants to wake up 4 times in the middle of the night and she never wakes up. Those are the time. She's not being used by the enemy, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, she could, we'll talk about it. I'm still praying about it. But it's just so funny. They never wake up till then. And I need people. You need people to come alongside you. And listen, maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I'm not really going through something. Well, you just wait. You'll be in the middle at some point. Because we all get there. But we can be in the middle with joy and peace, knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to fight for us. Because this is how I find my battles. Come on, I just want you to declare it this morning. Because this is how I find my battles. This is how I'm going to do it from now on, God. Because this is how I find my battles. I'm going to give it all to you. Because this is how I find my... Come on, if you just stand up to your feet this morning, I'm going to close. Because this is how I find my battles. God, we just lay everything at your feet this morning, God. This is how I find my... We put our trust in you and you alone. That God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, that God, you are there to get us to the other side. That God, you have made a way of an escape. You have made a way, Father God, where there seems to be no way, because God, you are that good. If any of you in this place, you feel like you're in the middle, you're stuck in a battle right now, I want to come in agreement with you. I'm not having you raise your hand and it's embarrassment. How do you raise your hand? Because I want to declare. So if that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. We're going to declare in this place this morning with every person in this place agreeing. Father God, every hand lifted in this place that's facing a battle, that God, I thank you right now. You are more than enough. That God, you can do everything that we cannot. That God, you can create miracles in the middle. That God, you can mark us with your greatness. And God, I thank you that we will trust you and lean not to our own understanding, but trust in you with all our heart. Now, if you're in this place this morning, maybe you've accepted Christ before, but you know, man, there's been a disconnect. Man, I've just gone a different way, and I want that connection back with Jesus. And listen, that's not an embarrassing thing. I think the strongest people are the ones that can admit their weakness. And that's one reason you will always hear me and my husband of this church talk about the areas that we've struggled with and talk about that this stage means nothing. We are on the same playing field, fighting the same devil, believing in the same God, going through some of the same stuff. But it's because of him we're more than conquerors. And maybe you've never accepted Christ. Either one, this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand. We just want to get something in your hand. And if that's you, I just want you to say this prayer with me. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make my heart as white as snow. Come on, let's give those people a hand clap this morning. God is so good. He's so good. Hallelujah.